This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. You know that expression among book lovers, the book I'm reading now is so good I just can't put it down. But on rare occasions, a book is so good that you have to put it down. Because the writing is so powerful, the image is so stark, the subject matter so frankly brutal that you need a break before picking it up again. Such is the case with the novel The Underneath, the latest from Melanie Finn, whose work has included the widely acclaimed Away From You and The Gloaming, which was a New York Times notable book selection and a finalist for the Vermont Book Award. Melanie Finn has also worked as a freelance journalist in Africa, and she's also helped people in Africa while establishing the Natron Healthcare Project, which we will discuss along with The Underneath. Melanie Finn, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Mitch. It's a pleasure.
In setting up this interview, you joked with me that while much of The Underneath takes place in the Northeast Kingdom, where you live, it's not a book that the Vermont Chamber of Commerce would ever promote for people to come visit there. It's a really unflinching and honest depiction of the effect that the opioid epidemic is having on this remote section of Vermont. Why did you want to write about the drug problem in this place that you call home?
Well, I think every family in the Northeast Kingdom has been affected by it in some way. And I felt very strongly there's this nice image, this sort of chocolate box, Vermont Life calendar image, that is very deceptive and makes the actual discussion about drug problems even more difficult. I just wanted to be able to kind of open the door to some conversations.
You worked closely with the publishers of the Caledonian Record, I understand, the newspaper, to get at some of these issues. What kind of help did they provide?
Well, I read the Caledonian Record almost every day. I have to say I'm a bit of a morbid reader. That page two, the obituaries in the crime log, tend to be where I start and then end up on Dear Abby. But Robert Bletchell, who is their reporter based out of Littleton, New Hampshire, I spoke with him for just a couple of hours and he just gave me some really great insights. But for a small newspaper, it does a really good job of covering the local crisis.
There are so many damaged people in this book. You write about a young man named Ben. He's a native Vermonter. He wants to adopt a young boy of five whose mother is addicted to heroin. There's Kay. She's a journalist who's seen and covered terrible violent events in Africa for years. I wonder how much of your own journalistic career in Africa, and having grown up in Kenya, by the way, as a young girl, influenced the stories that Kay tells in the book.
Well, I was a journalist in the early 90s and did witness some very terrible things. Those images definitely came out in the book. The opening image of Kay when she finds the bloody dress, that did in fact happen to me. We had traveled to a place called Gulu in northern Uganda. At that point, the Lord's Resistance Army, which was headed by a bit of a lunatic called Joseph Kony, who is still out there kidnapping children, he had been raising villages around there. So I went with another journalist and the village was completely abandoned. And I did find this dress, this pile of rags on the ground, and I touched it and there was this kind of red flaky patina and there was nothing else. It was the absence and the silence that were almost more horrific, that kind of unseen menace, something that happened that was so terrible that even the walls seemed to remember.
Yeah, so when I was talking about a lot of the brutal images in this book, that is one. But I think this is a good juncture then to talk about the Natron Healthcare Project. What does it do to help people?
My husband and I were living in this very remote part of Tanzania called Lake Natron. You have to really kind of imagine the remoteness. We were 4 hours on kind of a very bad class 4 road from the nearest main road, the nearest electric light, the nearest clinic. So the local community of Maasai had absolutely no access to healthcare. We were there for sort of 3 or 4 years. And I mean, I saw a compound fracture, snake bite, tuberculosis of the spine, spina bifida, preeclampsia. When my husband and I realized that we were going to leave, I could not just abandon this community that had sort of wound its way into my heart. So with my mother-in-law, who is a fantastic general practitioner in England, she and I set up the Natron Healthcare Project so that people actually had a service to go to. And since then, we've been working a lot with education to help people understand their healthcare problems and make informed decisions in how they get care.
I wonder if the remoteness of the regions like you were just talking about in Africa was on your mind when you were also switching back in the book to the sections, the remoteness of the Northeast Kingdom. It can feel like a whole different world from Chittenden County, for example, living up in some of these remote parts of the kingdom.
I certainly think that most people in the Northeast Kingdom would agree that they live in a different state to Chittenden County. We live on a very remote piece of land. And my husband is often away for long periods of time as a wildlife filmmaker. And I wrote most of the book in the winter. And I think that sort of sense of isolation, certainly that Kay experiences, was amplified and almost quite frightening, kind of sitting there day after day, feeling like I was going a little bit mad. And I think also, as you're right, you're very perceptive, there is something about the Northeast Kingdom. It's separate history almost, and there's a very different attitude up there. I think people do feel cut off and sometimes disempowered.
You do have an empathy for these characters, especially Ben and Kay. And I think a lot of women, especially mothers, will relate to Kay because she's this accomplished, smart, tough journalist, and yet one of the hardest things she's doing is trying to raise these two kids. You know, there's a point where she burns her hand accidentally on a tea kettle, and the kids think it's funny and they laugh at her, and she says something terrible to them. And you really did depict these honest emotions that I think a lot of women would have.
Well, I have to also just make sure that everyone knows I haven't actually said those words to my children. But I think nothing can prepare you for how completely unglamorous being a mother is. I mean, you go from being an independent person, making your own money, to suddenly spending huge amounts of your time, you know, like looking for shoes under the sofa, or somebody for some reason has flushed an apple down the toilet and the whole thing is backed up and you just think, I'm unclear on how this happened.
No one is totally innocent in this book. Ben in particular, without giving anything away, does some things that are not in the least bit heroic. And yet he truly loves this boy that he's trying to adopt and to give him a better life. How do you view Ben in the final analysis and Kay as well?
This is where the book gets really personal. My father was a terrible alcoholic and he died at about 54. And I struggled all my life to get over out of the shadow of that physical and mental abuse. And I think as a parent, you often come up against yourself in wanting to do the right thing, but your instinct is to do the wrong thing. So what I really wanted for both of these characters, but most specifically for Ben, my personal trauma was amplified through him, that he reaches a point where he is able to step out of that shadow.
If a Vermonter who lived in the Northeast Kingdom were to pick up your book and read it, do you think that they would be offended? Do you think they'd be angry at the harsh depiction that you show of this region? Or do you think that they would see and feel the empathy you have for these characters and that there is an inner strength in these people here?
I think there's tremendous resilience. I did teach 10th grade American literature for a year. And the kids that came into that classroom, you know, some of them were up at 3 o'clock in the morning working in their dairies and they smelt of cow and they smelt of iodine and they just came in and they did their work. And my respect for those kids and the stories they told me made me feel proud to live in the kingdom. And I do hope the stories that I tell in The Underneath feel real, but they also say something about how hard people work to overcome circumstances, whether they are emotional or economic.
The book is called The Underneath. It's the latest by Melanie Finn. I want to thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.